for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Praise the Lord. For this day thou art children of light, not of darkness. And yea, thou must desire the things of me, saith God. Thou must know that I am with thee and I indwell in thee. And thou must desire to be delivered from those things that have kept thee bondage. And as thou dost desire this deliverance, yea, this day shalt thou be delivered. Yea, for my spirit will indwell in thee and will burn out all things that are not of me. For my spirit is doing the work, saith God. And my spirit will go forth even this morning in this service. And it will burn out those things that thou dost desire to be burnt out. But yea, thou must first have a desire in me. Thou must first say, Lord, I will put you first. And then, Lord, you do that work that needs to be done in me. And you burn out those things that need to leave. And I will let them leave. I will make them and cause them to leave. For yea, the darkness is not of me. But yea, this day I am putting light in the dark places. Praise God.
We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
On time. Then tonight at 7 we'll start our evening service. We're expecting some people in from Dallas this morning. I had a call from Ruth Sizelove. She is in Louisville, coming from Indiana, and she says it's bitter cold there, and cars are not really freezing up, but they're not working right. It's something to do with the bitter cold weather. So unless it comes a vast change this afternoon, she's going to go back home to Indiana. And let's keep praying for the weather, about the weather. God has all of this in His own hands. We don't understand it, but God does. And everyone that's here, you have a better chance of getting personal deliverance and extra special help. If this place is packed full, it's hard to give you special help. And I feel that many people were delivered last night. How many really felt different this morning in your worship? Did you feel any different? Yes, hallelujah. And one received the Holy Spirit last night. And there's lots more. There's lots more for all of us to receive. Nobody has arrived. Nobody has come to the pinnacle of the Holy Spirit. There's lots more. There's lots more than deliverance. There's the fruits of the Spirit. There's loving your neighbor as yourself. That's a pretty big item. There's maturity, total maturity. There's miracles. all kinds of things in God. He has all of these things for us. And don't just keep your mind on deliverance. Keep your mind on Jesus, whatever he wants to do. He might want to do a lot of different things for us than we're really imagining or thinking about. Let God be God. And let's forget about men and speakers. And whomever the Lord wants here, will bring here. He'll bring them. There's hard telling who might come out of these hills of Arkansas to come in here and give us a word. And I know a lot of you still need a lot of deliverance. We understand that. And we've got all week to pray for you. But your main, if you want deliverance, you go after it. You ask the Lord to deliver you. And you be cooperative when people are praying for you. Don't be stubborn. That's an evil. That's a devil as big as a horse. Stubbornness is terrible. It's idolatry. It's covetousness, the Bible says. And rebellion is witchcraft. Don't be a rebel. You'll never get delivered if you're rebelling about everything you see and hear and look at. Just keep looking to Jesus and say, Lord, deliver me. Every few minutes, just say, Lord, deliver me. Now, whoever calls on the name of the Lord is going to be delivered. That's God's word, and it's truth. That's truth. And he means it. If you really call on the Lord, you're going to get delivered. Now, you may not get delivered the way you want to be delivered, but you're going to get delivered if you keep calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, because he is the deliverer. And just keep your hearts open to the Lord. Keep looking toward Jesus. As Glenn comes to bring the word this morning, keep your mind open to the word. I don't know what he's going to speak about, but if he doesn't speak on the subject you like it anyway. That's your overcoming thing for today. You know, we don't have all deliverance here. That's lopsided and horrible. We have deliverance, and we have other things, too. Whatever the Lord wants us to have. We pray that we'll walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. And God has blessed us through this year of 1983, and a greater blessing, I believe, than we've ever had. And 84 is looming right ahead of us in about a week. And who knows what he has for us? Who knows what he has for us? We have to keep walking. The walk with Christ is progressive. Keep moving. Where he moves you, you move. You may not like it, but just keep following him. You're going to come out all right in the end. He says you will. Whatever he's begun, he's going to be able to finish. And I praise God for that. I praise God for everyone that's here this morning and everyone that's given in the offering. We praise God for that. We have lots and lots of expenses here, lots of fuel bills in the winter, and all kinds of expenses. The insurance on these buildings alone is flabbergasting. We just got a new policy for the new year. The bill didn't come yet, but I saw what it was going to be, and it's really expensive. But we must carry it. And as long as we owe the bank, we still owe a bank $16,000. And we still owe a private man for the ground across on the other side, that little portion over there. But God has really miraculously brought us out of debt this past year, and I praise God for that. Let's praise God for that. Well, that is really a miracle. Praise God for that. Praise you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, that you meet our needs. Thank you, Lord, that you're abiding faithful. The Lord, as we remain faithful, you abide faithful. Hallelujah. A year ago now, we didn't have the sliding doors. I don't think, did we have these ceilings in a year ago? We didn't have the ceilings in, nor the fans. We didn't have a washing machine and dryer. We used to have to take the dish towels and sheets and everything home with us to do at night. No, we didn't have the floor on the cafeteria. And we didn't have the walk-in. Was it all completed? Can't remember. It was done. And God has just miraculously brought in the money to pay for all that. And we're believing God to bring in the money to buy this computer that we need so badly. And he's our supplier. He's our source. We cannot look to men. We must look toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He is very rich. You know that? Mm-hmm. He owns it all. He owns it all. He's very rich. And our Father looks after us, and I praise God for that. And I praise God for all of your faithfulness through this year. And as Ruth comes to sing for us, just flow. I wish I could explain to you how to all of you just flow. Just flow toward the speaker and flow toward the Word of God. Flow toward the singing. If you don't like it, flow anyway. It's going to do you good. Just flow. Just flow. just everything just to move and flow with the Spirit. You can put your hands out right now. There's all kinds of angels around here. All kinds of angels. Put your hands out. Mm-hmm. All kinds of them. All around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They're here to help us praise the Lord. We're here to minister unto the Lord this morning. We're here to give Him praise and worship Him. And He's here and the angels are here. What more would we want? Come on, Ruth, and sing for us. She writes many songs the Lord gives her, and that's her talent the Lord has given her. And I praise God for Ruth.
Well, I praise God for Glenn and Irma. Amen. I tell you, they've been a strength to me.
When I think of how He came so far from glory, they should dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. Oh, melt every day my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Not my will, thine, Lord. The answer I may never know, for He ever loved me so. But to that old rugged cross He goes, for who am I? When I'm reminded of those precious words,
I wonder if there are any needs that we should remember before the Lord this morning. I want to do that before we study the Word of the Lord. In His name, any others? Yes, I agree with that. Praise you, Jesus. Father, you've heard these requests that's been made this morning. We come and stand as intercessors in their behalf. We lift them up before the throne this morning, Lord. We lift up this man who has left his wife and children, Christopher. Father, again this morning, we bind him to the kingdom of the living God. We bind the rebellion in his heart against you and rebellion in his wife. We bind the spirit, Lord, of separation. and divorce. I take authority over that spirit of divorce. I rebuke it out of that household and out of that family in the name of the Lord. You inherited spirits of quarreling and separation that's come down through that family line. I bind you from that family in the name of the Lord. And I loose the glory and the presence of the Lord over that household. I thank you, Father, for that authority that's given unto us in the name of the Lord Jesus. I stand and I take that place today and I speak restoration to that household in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. Father, I come in behalf of this woman that Terrence ministered to on the plane. Father, help her to really realize that Jesus is Lord and to call on the name of the Lord. Father, I stand in her stead this morning and I rebuke that spirit of cancer in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I rebuke the cause of it and I speak restoration unto her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I speak to her spirit that she shall come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that she shall realize that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And unto him be the glory and the power and the dominion and the authority forever and ever. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now, Father, we lift up our households, our children, our grandchildren, Lord, our great-grandchildren. Father, we lift up our brothers, our sisters, our mothers, our fathers. Father, we speak a spirit of adoption unto them, those who know thee not. We bind the spirit of Antichrist over their lives. We bind the spirit that would cause them to err in their ways. And I rebuke that in the name of the Lord. And I speak restoration unto them in the name of the Lord. I speak against the hardness of their hearts, the stiffness of their necks. I loose their mind to comprehend the things of the Lord. I loose their mind to understand that Jesus is Lord. I bind the spirits of Catholicism and idolatry. I rebuke those powers in the name of the Lord. I bind them up in Jesus' name. I loose the spirit of restoration unto them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for the blood that cleanses and washes. And I apply and I appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus on behalf of our families this morning to cover their sins. And I come against the hardness of their hearts. I come against the rebellion against God. And I loose the spirit of the living God to move and work in their hearts and lives. And I stand as priest in their stead and in their behalf this morning. And I loose unto them the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and a desire to walk in holiness and righteousness before you, Father, for Jesus' sake. And I thank you, Father, for that privilege that's given to us today. And I praise you for that privilege as we have to stand as priests in behalf of our families and to remit their sins, Lord, and to apply the blood of the Lord Jesus there that Jesus can become Lord of their lives. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father. And Father, I lift up our nation before you, those in authority over us. I loose the glory of the Lord this day over this nation. Father, I loose a new outpouring and a desire in the hearts of the people of this land to praise and to worship and to magnify thee as they come into realization this day, Lord. Many, Lord, who never darken the doors of a church house, may this day their hearts be touched as they realize that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he came to be Lord of their lives. Father, I thank you for wisdom over those in authority in this land. Give our president wisdom today. Give his advisors wisdom, Lord. And I bind the principalities and powers of Satan. I bind those powers and I pull them down off of their strongholds. And I loose the glory of the Lord over this land. That Jesus shall be declared a Lord of lords and King of kings. And I declare him to be Lord of lords and King of kings over my life and over this place and over these people. This day I declare that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And we declare him to be so, and I declare him to be so. And I praise him, and I thank him for his blood that washes and cleanseth me. And Father, I thank you for a new understanding and a revelation of the Lord Jesus and of his word in this coming year. I thank you for all that we've learned this past year. Father, I thank you for a new revelation of yourself through thy word this coming year, that we may walk in holiness and righteousness to declare that Jesus is Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. For Jesus Christ is Lord. And I declare it to be so. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost around about us. I thank you for the angels of the Lord. I thank you for the spirits of just men made perfect that are here with us to praise and to magnify thee. And that through them and through the power of the Holy Spirit, a new revelation of yourself and of your word shall come. And that we shall understand thy word and shall walk in it. And the traditions shall be taken away. And those things that we've walked in tradition, Lord, I ask that you remove them from us in Jesus' name and show us the error of our ways that we may change and walk in thy paths for thy glory. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it today, and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Father, I speak strength and health and life to every one of us. Satan, it is written that the Lord gives, renews our health as the eagle. And I declare unto you, Satan, that we declare strength and health into our physical beings in Jesus' name, because he has given us strength and health by his Spirit. And I declare it to be so in Jesus' name. And I speak restoration unto our physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we shall walk in restoration, declaring that he is Lord of our physical bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it in Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Irma was speaking last night about living stones. And we are living stones. The Lord is building a house. And we are that house. And we are living stones. And every time I hear someone speak about living stones or I read it, it reminds me of the vision that Annie had of the temple of the Lord. The temple that was being built. It wasn't complete, but the stones were living. She could see them as a living organism, each stone in the temple. And they were a moving, living a being. And the temple was a living, built of living stones. And they were we are those stones that the Lord is putting together that temple. No more will there be a temple built by man that will be the temple of the Lord. But now it's the temple that's being built, and you and I are the stones of that temple that he's forming together into a living temple, an example of him in the earth and in the universe that he's preparing for his place of worship. And we are those temples. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As we gather together, collectively and individually, we are the temple of the Lord, rising up to declare that he is Lord as we praise and worship him and as he comes to dwell in us, for we are the dwelling place, the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. For a while this morning, I want to study together with you the faithfulness and the mercies of the Lord. And I realize when we study that there are many aspects to every phase of study that we take up to study the Word of the Lord. And that there are many, many scriptures that apply besides the scriptures that I use. And there may be many scriptures that are better scriptures than I use, than I have put together. But I do the best I can and believe that the Lord anointing rests upon it. And if the Lord happens to give you a scripture that you feel is pertinent and applies to what we're studying this morning, why, feel free to raise your hand and read it for us so that we can have a better understanding of the subject and the subjects that we study as we study together to make ourselves approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, learning to rightly divide the word of the Lord for his glory, that we may be servants for the master's use. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's turn first to the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter, verse 7. Isaiah 49 and 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ. To him who man despiseth, Lord, we do not despise him. We rejoice that we know him. To him who the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. What a thought to think that the Lord needs us, and that he has chosen us, and that he chooses me, and he chooses you, and that we are what he's looking for. We who are really so unworthy, but yet that is what he's looking for. He's looking for you, and he's looking for me. And he's looking for us that he may flow through us, and we may be examples, living stones again, of Jesus, that as his word and his spirit moves and flows through us, that he can use us to be examples of him before men. In Proverbs chapter 20, he tells us here in Proverbs 20 and verse 6 what he's looking for in us. Proverbs 20 and 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can be found? And that's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for faithful men and women, those who will be faithful to the light that they have. There's none of us that have all the light and understanding of the word of the Lord. We are desiring it. We are seeking for it. But help us to be those that are faithful, that we will be faithful in what is given unto us. For that is what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for a faithful heart, one that is faithful to be faithful in that which we see and understand as the word is revealed unto us. And in Psalms 101, verse 6, Psalms 101, verse 6, again he tells us that he's looking for the faithful man. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me, and he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So it should be the desire of our hearts that we desire to walk and be faithful before the Lord. While we're here in Psalms, let's look, turn over to the 119th Psalm, verse 86 of the 119th. And we find how we can be faithful in serving the Lord. All thy commandments are faithful. So the commandments of the Lord are what will help us and keep us to be faithful. As we study the commandments of the Lord, all the commandments of the Lord are faithful. And as we study and apply them to our hearts and our lives and learn to live by the commandments of the Lord, then we will be faithful to the word of the Lord. And when we're faithful to the word of the Lord, we're faithful unto the Lord. And why is the Lord looking for someone that's faithful? Because he has a purpose for us. And we'll find that purpose over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. He's looking for stewards of his word. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So if the Lord is looking for a steward, and we are the stewards of the Lord, then it is required that we are faithful. We have no choice. If we want to be God's steward and want to be used of the Lord, we are required to be faithful. And what are we required to be faithful of? Of the word of the Lord. That we learn to rightly divide it so that we can be a witness before others. And that we can speak the word of the Lord and say, it is written. That we rightly divide it and apply it and appropriate it and use it as it is written. For in that way, we have dominion and authority and power over the powers of Satan that not only do try, but do take authority over us if we don't take our place of authority over them. If we don't take our place of authority over them. And the only way we can do that is by declaring and knowing the word of the Lord and walking in it in righteousness and holiness and declaring unto Satan, it is written. And as we declare that, we have authority and dominion that the Lord has given unto us. That authority and dominion that is given out, that is ours, and our place, rightful place to take. But we come into that place as we take the word and use it in behalf of every situation and learn how to apply it and say, it is written. And that is the way Jesus overcame, and he's our example, and that's the way that we will overcome as we take the word and appropriate it daily and use it and say unto every situation, it is written, and speak the word of faith and the word of truth. And as we do that, then we have dominion and authority over the powers that not only try but do bring defeat. First of all, he tries to the Christian. That's the place that defeat, we must first of all take away defeat. It's out of our own lives. Then we can bring life and health to others. But when we have defeat in our own lives, and it's basically here because we do not apply the word of the Lord to the situation, and let it be known that it is written that we do have authority, that we will live in righteousness, we will live in holiness, and that all the things that the Lord has is ours as we declare the word of the Lord. The faith message and speaking into being is a truth. And in that truth, we need to learn to walk. But it's not the only truth. Just like the deliverance message, it's not the only truth. We have to put it all together and make it one fit together, precept upon precept. And then when we do that, we have an authority and a dominion that Satan cannot overrule us or override us or come against us. He'll try, but he will not be able to, because the Word puts a shield about us, and the Holy Spirit will rise up within us and will bring forth a word of life that will bring freedom and liberty in a right relationship to the Lord, that will bring us to a place where we'll walk and be that epistle that's read of men, which is the example of the Lord Jesus in our lives. People, I know that all Scripture can be taken and you can warp it almost all. The Scripture that we have a freedom in the Lord in times past has been warped to where people can take the Scripture and show that they can do what they want to do. Well, when you do that, you've just closed the door, or you're closing the door on a walk with the Lord. Because you can't do that. You have to take and rightly divide the Word and live according to the Word, and not say that because I find a Scripture that says I can do all things, therefore I can go and do what I want to do. No, it's still sin. When it's sin, it's still sin, regardless of how you try to twist the Word to make it fit what you want to do with it. And there's been a lot of Pentecostal and people and others that have taken and do take the Word and twist it to their own error. And then when they do that, they also cause others to err, and it brings a chain reaction that Satan rejoices in. And we need to be able to assist and help, because we need to learn the Word of the Lord, so that when we see these things of error, we can come and say, my brother and my sister, I believe that you've taken the Word and it's applied, and show them by the Word that they have erred in their ways and that they need to change and walk in a path of righteousness before the Lord. Because he's calling us to a walk of holiness. And when things are not holy and right before the Lord in a holiness, then that's error. But we need to be able to rightly divide the Word of the Lord, so that our walk is a walk before men, that they see Jesus. And when they see Jesus, they see a righteousness and a holiness in us that exemplates and shows forth the light of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Over in Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, Jesus tells us there that he that is faithful in the least of the small things will automatically become faithful in the greater things. So that if you're faithful with a little place that the Lord has you, then as the Lord gives you a greater place, then he can depend upon you and rely upon you that you will be faithful in what he trusts you with. So we must learn and desire to be faithful with what we have. And then as we're faithful with that, then as the Lord gives us more, and we're faithful with that, then we can be counted worthy to receive greater things from the Lord. But we can only become worthy to arrive at that place as we are faithful with the little place that the Lord first gives us. If we're faithful there and rejoice there and are happy where we are, and then as the Lord opens a door for us to another step and another step, and we're faithful, then as we become, as he entrusts unto us the 10 talents, so to speak, then we'll not only be able to handle them and take care of them in a righteous way, but we will also be faithful as we walk in that way to handle it unto the Lord with a faithfulness that will exemplify and glorify the Lord. And we'll not become puffed up and become proud in what we have. When we become proud in what we have and puffed up in our own ideas and our own thoughts, immediately we're opening the door for a big fall in our lives. And the thing that has been given unto us to become a blessing can turn and become a curse unto us, and not only to us, but to those that are around about us. And that, we don't want any of us to ever fall in that way, that we become puffed up or become proud in what the Lord gives us. For we are all servants together, serving the Lord, worshiping and praising him. We are called to be a worshiper unto the Lord together, not one above the other, even though we do have different places of authority and things that we must look after. Still yet, we are still of the same spirit together, really, when it comes to worship the Lord. I have no greater place than the least of any sitting here, or the smallest child, or the youngest of Christians. I have no greater place before the Lord to praise and worship him than the least of you here. As we gather together and lift our voices and our hearts together to praise, it's the attitude of our heart that the Lord looks at. It's not how much I've done or how much you've done. It's our attitude as we gather at the foot of the cross. It's my attitude and your attitude before the Lord that he looks at and that he receives. And your one talent, as the Lord has given you and you're faithful with, is just as important as the one who's given 10 talents, and as they're faithful with that, our faithfulness is the same. There is no difference, because the Lord looks on our heart and our attitude as we serve and praise and worship him, as we're faithful unto the Lord to praise and worship him. In the 103rd Psalm, Psalms 103, verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them." Now, I want the mercy of the Lord. I want his mercy and his grace. And therefore, if I want his mercy and his grace, I must study and know God's covenants and his commandments. And in reality, this whole book is a covenant. The whole thing, from cover to cover, is a covenant. But in this covenant, there are commandments that we are commanded to keep. And tradition has told me in the past a lot of things that I don't have to keep anymore. But I'm not sure that that tradition is right. And I'm beginning to see that a lot of the things that I didn't say belonged to me, I'm beginning to see they belong to me. Now, I still have lots of tradition, I know, because I don't fully understand everything here. But I want that tradition washed out and removed from me so that I can understand the word of the Lord and rightly divide it, and so that I can keep the commandments and the covenants of the Lord that are required by me today, so that I can walk faithful before him in holiness and righteousness, expecting to receive his blessings both in health, in finances, and in all aspects of my life. And I find that in order to do that, I must study the covenants and the commandments of the Lord, and I must begin to apply them to my life daily. Now, some of you probably have never heard James Robinson, but a lot of you have. And we went down about 6 weeks ago to James Robinson seminar. And Irma mentioned about it even last night. But it still astounds me at what I found there. Majority of them Baptists. But Milton Green stood for 3 days, for 8 hour minimum, sometimes one day it was about 12 or 13 hours, and taught from the word of the Lord. And just taught, just scripture, scripture, scripture. And the theme of his teaching, which I was almost beyond what I could take hold of, the theme of his teaching was the commandments and the covenants. The commandments and the covenants. He said, and they taught, and said, "You've been told that these were for in the Old Testament, that they don't belong to us today. We live under the New Testament." Well, you've been taught wrong. That's error. We live under the whole thing, from cover to cover. And we can't take out and choose. We have to take it and apply it and see that it belongs to us today. If we're going to live and be examples of Christ, then we have to live as he lived. And he lived keeping everyone to the nth degree. He did not fail in keeping one item, because if he had of, then he wouldn't have been the perfect example and the lamb without spot and without wrinkle. And they taught that we are required to do likewise yet today, that we are required to apply the covenants and the commandments to our lives. And these are Baptists that they're teaching this to, not Pentecostals, not charismatics. It's the Baptists that are being taught this now. And I was just thrilled, because we as Pentecostals don't even want to accept or receive that. Our charismatics, we say, "Well, I don't have to do this. That's done away with. I find a scripture that says that I don't have to do that anymore." Well, when they got through teaching down there about the commandments and covenants and went back to some of the original scriptures, they done away with a lot of those teachings that we've taken in the New Testament and said that's done away with the Old Testament teachings. They found that the scripture shows that is a fulfillment of it, and it's not a doing away with it, and it's still required of us today. And it just thrilled me to hear that, because the Lord has been showing us that here for the last 3 or 4 years or even longer, but the last 3 or 4 years, the Lord has been showing us things in the Old Testament and been revealing to us that it's necessary to apply these things to our lives. And that a lot of our sicknesses and a lot of our diseases and a lot of our problems are because we have disobeyed the commandments of the Lord and not kept His word. Therefore, the sicknesses of Egypt have come upon our physical bodies because we have not adhered to the commandments and the covenants that the Lord has said there. Because He said, if you do this, then I'll do that. If you keep this, then I'll keep away from you the sickness and the diseases of Egypt. And we've all been hurt with the sickness and the diseases of Egypt. And why? Because we have been rebellious against the word of the Lord. And all of us yet, in some way, are still rebellious. We still are. There's some things that we still don't want to accept and apply and say that's for me. I know that there's things that I don't understand that I'm still rebellious about. But I don't want to be. I want to understand the word of the Lord. I want to learn how to rightly divide it so that these sickness and diseases of Egypt and will not fall upon me and upon my family. And that I'll be able to walk out from under the things that I've inherited it because my forefathers have not kept the commandments of the Lord. Jesus became a curse so that I don't have to bear the curse. But that curse is not broken automatically. That curse is only broken as I accept that and come to the knowledge of it and then apply that word to my life and walk out from beneath the curses that my forefathers have gotten themselves under that the Lord says is visited upon me to the 3rd and 4th and the 10th generation. And if that is repeated on down, it almost becomes a perpetual thing. If before it runs out, somebody sins again, then it's compiled again and again. And we carry it down. And I am of the belief, I don't understand it, I don't know how, but I am of the belief that the sin of Adam and Eve, where the curse of death was put upon them, that is a perpetual thing, and I believe that somewhere the Lord's going to reveal unto somebody a revelation of the way to walk out from under that sin of death, curse of death. It's a curse. It's a curse of death. And man, the Scripture tells us that Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father until His enemies are put under His feet. And the Scripture tells us that we are His battle axes. And if we're His battle axes, and He's going to sit there until His enemies are put under His feet, then it means that we who are His battle axes have got to do some warfare and have got to bind up the powers of Satan and to put these things under feet, our feet and His feet, and reverse the curses and reverse the things that are that we are carrying because of our ancestors and walk out from under that. I don't understand how to do it. I don't know the way out, but I believe that I'm beginning to see in the Scripture that applies to you and me, and we're somehow going to have to take that dominion and that authority and begin to walk in it and declare it and to say it is written. But we can't say it is written in the fullness of the fact until we come into an understanding of the commandments that's laid down for us to walk in, and then we walk in those ways so that Satan, when he comes, can find nothing in us just as he found nothing in Jesus. But until we come to that place, and the only way we can come to that place is as we come to the revelation of the word of the Lord. And I don't understand that yet. But that revelation is here. And we need, and as we study it and apply it and put it into our hearts, we are coming into that revelation. We're a little here and a little there. It's being revealed unto us. The revelation that the Lord gave last spring about the eating of blood and fat, which was given. It was an astounding thing. But there are many people who laugh at it and say that those that we have talked to about it or where we have ministered and ministered, they have come and argued with us that I don't live under that law anymore. And blood soup is good for me. It's quick energy. And I make blood pudding and eat it. It's good for me. And I make blood soup and drink it. But the Scripture says that you shall, it's abomination forever. And because of that, we bring up on us sicknesses and diseases, and we carry them in our physical bodies because we disobey the word of the Lord. And then when the word of the Lord is revealed to us that we shouldn't do that, and then we declare that we can do it anyway, then it's an abomination unto us, and there's no redemption for your physical body, for the disease that you have that's caused by that. There's no redemption for it unless you repent of your way and ask the Lord to forgive you. And only then can that curse be lifted off of you and be broken over you. But that's true of not only that of that, but that's true of many, many commandments and in the Word of the Lord that we have rebelled against in the past. that the Lord is revealing and showing that we must learn to walk therein, and if we want to come out from underneath the curses that we are carrying or the sicknesses and diseases that we've brought on our own selves because we have walked contrary to the word of the Lord. The Lord is calling for a people that will keep his commandments and do it because they love the Lord, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. And it's not easy. And we're learning some things that the Lord's calling us to do that hurts our flesh. And we kind of rebel against it. But we must come to a place where we do it because we love the word of the Lord, and we learn to fear the word of the Lord. And in so doing, we'll say, I will do it regardless. If nobody else does, thy word says so, therefore I will do it. And if nobody else does, then I will do it regardless. And each one of us needs to come to that realization and place before the Lord that we study the word of the Lord, and as we see things in here, that we apply it to our hearts and lives and say that I will live and do according to thy word. And when we do that, then the Lord will bless us and honor us, and then we can say to Satan, it is written. And sickness and disease and has to leave. Prosperity will be ours as well, because it's a promise to us just as much as freedom from sickness and disease and the plagues of Egypt, just as much as that is promised that we're free from that, so is prosperity promised to us. But it's only promised to us as we keep the commandments of the Lord, as we walk in righteousness and holiness before the Lord, keeping his word and applying it to my heart and to my life, as we're faithful keeping the word of the Lord, as we are faithful in him. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And here's a promise to us and to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, and many, many more. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Actually, he's almost saying eternity or eons, because 1,000 generations is 40,000 years. So that puts us out into eternity or out into the millennium, when the keeping of God's covenant to those who keep his commandments. So therefore, if we want to receive this blessing of the Lord, we need to study what God says is necessary for us to do if we are to receive this blessing. And if we receive this blessing, then we automatically receive that. With that blessing, we receive health, we receive all that we need. You might say wealth, health and wealth. And that basically is true. That we, if as we learn and to keep the commandments of the Lord, and as we keep them because we want to. Leviticus and Deuteronomy are the two books that are filled with God's ways to live by. He gave us laws of health. He gave us laws of communal property. He gave us laws of living with one another. He gave us laws of sex. And he gave us laws that will keep us healthy and keep us where we can be a praise and a worship unto him if we will study them and read them and abide by them. When we were a very common sin amongst God's people, which we've all, I would say that all married people, unless they have studied the word of the Lord, have been guilty or are guilty of it. And it's forbidden, and in my opinion, it is the main cause of women's problems with female problems, and men with problems with their prostate and so forth. And it's very plain, spelled out under the sex laws, that you shall not have sexual relations during the time of a woman's menstrual period. Just as plain as day. And I read it many times, and it never even struck a chord at all in my head, until the Lord began to have us study Leviticus and Deuteronomy here a couple of years ago. And it just, and we had a mass repentance service here of all that were present. And if you've been guilty of that, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you and to read what the Lord requires at that time and period of life and then abide by it so that you're not troubled with female problems and male problems. But I believe as we learn these things and then apply them and ask the Lord to forgive us, that he cleanses us and that he brings back health and life to us. Back to us as we learn these things and then live by them according to the word of the Lord. Very simple. Very simple. A very simple thing which actually convicts me. And it's in the word of the Lord, but it says that when you use the bathroom that you should wash your hands. The Lord tells us that. It's very simple. And if I go to the bathroom and I walk out without washing my hands, it hurts me, and I... Most of the time, I'll turn around and go back. And I very seldom forget it anymore. But it's just, you say, well, why? It's just because the Word says to do it. That's why. Just because it says so. And we need to learn to take the Word of the Lord and do it, not to question it and not say, well, but say, it's just because it says so. And pray that it pricks your heart so that it bothers you when you don't do the little things. If we're faithful in the little things, then it'll be easy to be faithful in the other things. It'll be easy. And Lord, convict us when we're not faithful with the little things so that we can be faithful with the other things. Now, I know there's a great controversy about the Sabbath, and I don't understand that. And if the Lord makes a revelation to me of it, then I'll stand here and declare so. But I don't understand the Sabbath. Now, I understand keeping a day holy to the Lord. That I understand. But I'm referring to the fact that there's a controversy about Saturday's a Sabbath and not Sunday. Now, as far as I'm concerned at this time, I could take any day of the week and declare it to be my Sabbath. But now, that may be wrong. I'm not going to say that I'm right in that. I may be wrong. But at the present time, I cannot find where it can be proven to me that Saturday is any more the Sabbath than Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Because the word Saturday means the worship of the goddess of Saturn. That's what Saturday means. It doesn't mean Sabbath at all. And just likewise, Sunday. Sunday does not mean a day of worship at all. It means worship to the sun god. That's what it stands for. So, and I cannot be proven, maybe someday it will be proven to me, what day the Sabbath was that the Lord required was the Sabbath. But at this time, we keep Sunday as the Sabbath. And that may be wrong. I'm not going to say that it's right. But until I see different, why, we will do that way. Some of you feel different. You're entitled. I'm not going to arise against you at all. I'm not going to. But in my opinion, at the present time, that is the largest controversy that I have with anything. And that is not a controversy. It's just my understanding. My understanding. My understanding is not clear that I can feel that changing a day will be correct at this time. Now, some of you feel different. I'm perfect agreement with you, and I'm not going to have any disfellowship of any kind. Amen. We need to study Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and all the rest of the Word of the Lord. We talk, there's a lot of controversy which is becoming less a controversy now about the Old and the New Testament. You know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Old Testament's done away with the New Testament. Well, you've got a problem with that. And many of you have heard me say this before, and I may say it again before the week's out. But you've got a problem with that because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Old Testament. So you've got a problem if you say the Old Testament's done away with and we've got the New Testament. See, the New Testament doesn't begin until the morning of the resurrection. Jesus lived his entire life under the Old Testament. And everything that's written about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written under the Old Testament. And the New Testament begins in the morning of resurrection. And if he hadn't came out of the tomb, there would have been no new covenant. The new covenant came into effect the moment he came forth from the tomb, then was there a new covenant. But not until then. Praise the Lord. And that new covenant is the covenant of his blood, which done away with the sacrificial offerings that showed forth the coming of the Lord and the Lamb without spot, that just showed forth that which was imperfect until the perfect should come, and Jesus is his name. And that covenant became a covenant of fact when he stepped forth from the tomb. And so today we live under that portion of the new covenant, which is just an addition to the existing covenant. It doesn't do away with the old. It is part and existence of a total covenant, which is included in the entire scriptures. Well, that's the way I see it. That's the way I believe it. Whether the rest of you agree or not, I'm not going to argue with you about it, but that's the way I understand. Turn with me over to Psalms 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his ways. So, Lord, help us to be teachable and to be meek and not to be dogmatic in some of these things, but to walk in meekness before you. And all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his command, his covenant and his testimonies. So if we want the mercy of the Lord, we need to walk in meekness before him and to keep his covenant and his testimonies. And as we desire to do that, and as we walk faithful in the things that we understand, seeking continually to understand other things of the Lord, not closing our ears and our understanding to the revelations of the word of the Lord that's coming forth today, but that we try the word of the Lord, that we're sure that it is of the Lord and not twisted and sidetracked some way, but be sure that it's the Lord, then as we walk in those ways, then we can expect God's mercy and his blessing on our life. Jay, you mean 25 and 14? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant or his ways. So we're back again almost to where we started, in the fear of the Lord. And if we walk keeping the word of the Lord in the fear of the Lord, then the Lord will be faithful to show us his ways, that we'll not walk in error. And then if we do get in error, the Lord help us to be quick to repent and to change and to come back and to walk in the paths of your word for your name's sake, that you may be glorified in and through each one of us as we walk being the light of the world, those lights that are set on a hill that cannot be hid, the examples before men of Jesus, and that our lights will so shine that they will see Jesus in us. I hope that's your desire. I hope if it's not, that you make it your desire, that Jesus is and will be Lord of your life. Praise the Lord. Now, as this week progresses, and as we are taught things of the Lord, we will be taught many things this week that some of you have never thought of before, or maybe ever even maybe contrary to what you have been taught in the past. And I'm sure that some of us that are here, those that will be here, we will be taught things that are contrary to what tradition has taught us. Help us to not rebel against it. Help us to search the word of the Lord to see if these things be so or not. And then rightly divide it. And if it applies to us, then help me to apply it to my life and you to apply it to your life, that we may come out from underneath the curses of Egypt and the sickness and diseases that the Lord says is put upon us because we do not keep his word. Help us to come out from under the things of Egypt, and that we will walk in holiness and righteousness. And we'll do that as we walk in meekness before him, receiving the word of the Lord and applying it to our hearts in righteousness and holiness, as we are taught his word and the things that the Lord is revealing unto others as they come and stand and teach us the way of the Lord. The covenant, this covenant, that is what we need to apply and learn, the covenant. And it's from cover to cover, the covenant of the Lord. And as we apply it and appropriate it, we will find that our health will return unto us, sickness will leave us, the demonic powers will have to go, because the Lord says that he has given us authority and dominion over the powers of Satan in the name of Jesus. And as we use that name, the authority and the dominion and the power of that name, we have authority over the powers of Satan. But there are some things that Satan has authority over us in our lives that can only be, we can only be free of as we confess and as we are acknowledged and we change and walk a different way. Because Satan has rights and he's a legalist. And he will not relieve his rights unless we take it away from him. And there are a lot of things that he has in our lives that can only be taken away because as we take them away ourselves and repent and ask forgiveness and we change and do different, then we have authority and power over the powers of Satan. And as we learn that, there's a far less struggle to set people free. And the more we repent, and the more we repent, and the more we repent, the less right Satan has to us. And repentance is not out of style. In fact, repentance is not old-fashioned. Repentance is new every day. Every day. And as we learn that, and as we apply it, then we will have that dominion and that authority that is given to us only over our own lives and to be assistance to help others as we bind up the powers of Satan and put him underfoot so that Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, can rise and come back to be King of our lives and king over the dominions of this earth. But he can only be as we make him Lord of our lives. Father, I thank you this morning that you are putting within the hearts of your people a desire and a determination to walk after thy footsteps. And thy footsteps are thy covenants and thy commandments and thy statutes. Help us, Lord. Give us a revelation and an understanding of them and a desire to walk after them for your name's sake. And Father, in so doing, then we will fear thy face. And Father, it will be a righteous fear and not an ungodly fear. But we shall walk after thee and fear thee because thou art holy and righteous. And that no man can look upon thy face except by thy holiness and by thy righteousness, Father. And Father, your word says to be that we should be holy as thou art holy. And Father, that is impossible without the washing of thy word and the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and to wash us. And Father, I thank you for that blood that washes and cleanses us. And Father, open our hearts and our understanding. Give us a desire, Lord, to know thee. Make it foremost in our spirits, Lord, that our spirits shall desire to know the word of the Lord and to apply it to our daily life, that we may walk after thee in righteousness and holiness, and that the plagues of Egypt, Lord, shall be taken off of us as we walk forth to declare that Jesus is Lord, and that we shall be and are that example before men, that they shall see Jesus in us, and that they shall realize that we're different, and that the plagues of this world and the plagues that torment men do not torment us, and that they shall desire to know why, and we shall tell them it's because of the word of the Lord that lives and dwells within us, and that we walk after that way for his name's sake. We thank you for it, Father. Now, Father, I thank you for your anointing over those who are coming to minister to us and to teach us the rest of the week. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for your blessing upon them. I thank you for your blessing upon those who are traveling, Lord, and those who have called and said that the weather is so bad, Lord. Change the weather, Lord, that they may come through, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. But, Father, we will praise you here. We will rejoice before you. We will bless your name. And we will walk after you for your name's sake and keep thy judgments and thy commandments. And we will write them upon our mind and upon the subconscious of our mind, so that we will not sin against thee, and that the Holy Spirit can call them forth in the hour of need, in our behalf or in the behalf of our brother and our sister, that we may set them free, and in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you for it this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord bless us as we desire to study him. Amen. And his word. Praise the Lord. We had about 200 or so for Thanksgiving, and we generally have about 200 for the first service of every meeting. So, but the Lord knows, so we're not going to complain. We're going to praise the Lord, and those that he helps to get here will be here, but we'll praise the Lord regardless. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't think we need any place to go. We're not going to eat till 3 o'clock, I think. Some of you want to go someplace, you're welcome to go. But I think we just stay here and praise the Lord for a while. Amen. If any of you feel you, while we're praising the Lord, that you have a prayer request or anything comes to your mind to pray for, where there's a place, why, say so, and we'll pray about it. We'll uplift and pray and believe that the Lord will bring victory. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.